Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see everybody here today. If you're visiting with us, I know there's a few visitors out there with us. We extend a special welcome to you. We're glad that you decided to take time out of your busy day and come and worship with us. We're very thankful for that. If there's anything we can do for you, be sure and let one of us know. Got a couple of announcements before we get started. Many of you have seen these little flyers out in the foyer and on the bulletin board. We collect different food items for a program called Serving Our Kids. And next week is the last day for collecting of that. And then if you would, make sure you bring it and just either put it in the foyer or in this first classroom here. And we will make sure we get it to the proper place. And then we go and meet with other people and package that food for it to be passed out to the kids in schools. And that is going to take place on Thursday, April 4th at 6 o'clock. And it's out in Henderson. And if you can do that, we usually have a dozen or more people every time we do that, and it's a good time. We're getting our name out in the community, and people see our service. Also, next Sunday is not only the last day for the collecting of that food, but next Sunday is a fifth Sunday of the month, and we'll be having our singing that Sunday night, a week from tonight, and then a finger food fellowship after that. So just want to remind everybody that next week is a fifth Sunday, and we'll have our singing. Also, Hugh wanted me to mention that we have been praying for Hugh and Takako's son, Jarrell, who has cancer, and he has been going through a new radiation treatment. And the first round, the effects were very, very bad on his hip, that it was almost unbearable. We have been praying for him, and he wanted to report that is passed and he's doing much better. Amen. And so we want to keep Jarrell in our prayers and his family at this time, and Hugh and Takako. It's I don't care how old you get, you're still your mom and dad's little boy. And tough for everybody involved. So keep Jarrell in your prayers. Well, boys and girls, it's springtime. I'm still getting the dirt and everything off my hands. That always means that with the coming of spring, Stacy's got me out in the backyard and in the garden planting different plants and so forth. She's the brains behind everything, you know, picks out the flowers and, you know, picks where they go, and then you know who gets to plant them. But so today our lesson is going to be it's going to be a horticulture day, kids. We're going to talk about marigolds. Thought about this recently. We've got a number of marigolds in our garden, and just some observations. One thing led to another, and I can't explain how my mind works. If I could, but anyway, springtime, marigolds, it seems to go natural hand in hand. Marigolds, as a flower, are a very common flower. They're not the exotic. They're not the one that everybody always thinks of. People aren't battling over marigolds for a corsage or something like that. They're just a common, everyday plant. They're not the fancy schmancy exotic ones. Just a good old beautiful, even though they're common, just because they're common doesn't mean that they're not beautiful. They're very, very colorful. They're very hardy and robust. They can take drought. They can take direct sun. They can take being planted and then dug up and transplanted someplace else, and they'll adapt. And they'll thrive. And they'll give the best that they've got. They come back yearly. Can't get rid of them. They'll come back. They aid other plants. They have a natural pest repellent something in them to where a lot of the bad negative bugs and stuff stay away. So the plants around them are aided because of them. The plants are better that aren't marigolds around them because of the marigolds. Kind of see where I'm going? Kind of see where I'm going yet? Not a sermon about plants. Other plants are better off because of them. They're not the fancy one that everybody always looks to and struggling, fighting over to want. They're just the common marigolds, but they're also useful. They are used in dyes. They're used in pharmaceuticals. They're used in cooking. They can be eaten. Everything about a marigold is good. Then there's roses. There's no doubt roses are beautiful. Everybody wants the roses. Give me a rose, give me a rose, give me a rose. You know, guys, I wouldn't suggest on an anniversary or something like that to give your wife a dozen marigolds. That just don't cut it. Roses are beautiful, but they're extremely delicate and frail. They get out. And I love, you go to Star Nursery or something, and it says full sun. I don't know where they're talking about. Full sun here is a little different. You know, it's got to be like full sun and able to grow in an oven. They just don't do well. Those delicate, there's no doubt, we're not arguing that they're beautiful. That's not the point. But they get in that sun, and those little petals just curl up. They dry up. They can't take it. Pretty to look at. Just not very rugged. They also have thorns. They have thorns. You know, joking around, I've heard it said, you know, people don't know, is this a rose bush with pretty flowers on it? Or is it a thorn bush with pretty flowers? Or is it a flower riddled with thorns? I don't know. But the flower part is very pretty. But you go to pick those and cut those off, you come back, you look like you've been in a cat fight. Just, you know, I don't care how careful I am, I'm always poking myself. And things are not always as it appears. There's no doubt the surface, oh, it's a beautiful rose. One of the things about a rose that's not as it appears is you can't get very close to them because you're either poked. And if you can get close from over here, oh man, that's beautiful, healthy rose. You get closer to it, might be covered with bugs. Might be covered with aphids. You don't see it. But they're covered. You get close enough, you see it's not always as it appears. Dig down a little bit. Roses have a problem with grubs working underneath, destroying its root system. the foundation, preventing it from getting nutrients. But you don't always see those grubs working behind the scenes. And then, and in fact, this was in the song that we sang earlier about cedars, the salt cedar tree. It's very common out here. They provide shade. Boy, do they provide shade. It's a welcome sight in the desert, but these are very damaging trees. In fact, they've tried to eradicate them, and you just can't. They're very toxic. Yes, they provide shade, but it's toxic. Nothing can grow around them. Nothing. The leaves and the needles that fall off of these trees are poisonous, and nothing can grow around them. If you ever see salt cedars out, look, there's nothing growing around them because they poison everything. They poison the soil around them. Very invasive. They tend to take over. Left untreated, they'll just take over a whole area. They require so much water that it takes from other plants. They need that water. They just suck the water out from everywhere around it. And they're very destructive. You leave a salt cedar and let it grow, it's going to, and this is true of a lot of trees, a salt cedar will just uproot foundations, uproot driveways, destroy pipes, looking for that water. And most of the time, salt cedars, they're just not worth the trouble. They're not like other trees. But the only good out of salt cedar is you know, you can use the cedar for things and chop it down, you burn it for firewood. That's about the biggest use of a salt cedar. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. This was our scripture reading earlier. I appreciate Josh reading that. Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." He writes, Paul also writes in Romans, in chapter 12, starting verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it." What good is the talent and the abilities that God gives us if we don't use it?
Amen.
A marigold may not be as pretty as a rose, but you know what? It uses everything it's got. It develops itself and gives itself. And you can't get rid of it. They'll just keep giving and keep giving. "He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Also, in continuing on in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Jesus says, you are the light of the world. When he was speaking that, he wasn't speaking to the religious leaders, the high muckety mucks of the Jewish community. He was talking to average people like you and I. And he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. Be the best we can be. Let our light shine as bright as it can. Is all of our lights going to shine the same amount? No. But let your light shine as bright as you can make it shine and bring light to others. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. There's a lot of things in the religious world that aren't always as it appears. And we, as Christians, always have to be aware of those false prophets. They look right, they sound like they say some things from the Bible, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Mark 12, then he said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes. Not only beware of the false prophets, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. The appearance. Being out there, put in a vase, on display, but maybe not with the right motives, the right intent. Romans 16, 17, Paul wrote, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. We were talking about, the roots of a salt cedar tree. If it's by a foundation, a driveway, a road, pipes, it will just uproot it. Not only can nothing grow around it, it will destroy the things around it. The things that are useful. Galatians 5:9. Paul wrote, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You never, or very rarely, see just one salt cedar tree, because they spread and they take over an area. Just take over an area and it all becomes bad. And to close out with the last verse, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, Jesus says, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. It's bad enough you're like you are, you won't even let other plants grow around you. So boys and girls, there's your horticultural lesson for the day. Springtime, you can learn an awful lot by going to Star. We can learn even more by opening up the Bible. Amen. The closing thought is, let's be marigolds. Let's be marigolds. Some of you are as pretty as roses. Some of us are you know, there's no doubt we have a lot to offer. But let's be those marigolds that they just keep coming back. Never quit in their service. They're just the common flower that are beautiful. They're beautiful in and of themselves. But they're hardy, they're robust, and they give what they have to give. That, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in that. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayer, through repentance, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.